way was filled with danger.
Thank you, Mrs. Pollock. That was a blessing. Open your Bibles today to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. While you're finding your place, let me ask you to be sure and continue to pray for Mrs. Jones, Janine Jones, that is incapacitated due to an accident back in January or the Christmas New Year's break, broke a leg, tore an ACL and broke an arm, and she's going to be incapacitated for a while. And I want to thank those of you that have volunteered to help. We're going to provide 3 meals a week for her for a while, and be sure and remember your commitment. And then pray for Mrs. Koenig, who was involved also in an automobile accident last Monday and is having MRIs done on her knees. It looks like her knees took the brunt force of the accident. And let's pray that nothing seriously occurred as far as damage. If you found your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we shall begin to read in verse number 9, and we'll read through verse number 11. The Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now I want to point out three things here that is extremely, these are extremely important. First of all, God said, ye are God's building. Verse number 9. Secondly, verse number 10 lets us know we're also builders. We're in the process of building God's building, our life. And then the third thing, he lets us know what foundation we must build on. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. I want to speak this morning on the subject, building lives that lead to nowhere. Building lives that lead to nowhere. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. I sure need your help. I need your power. And I ask today before these dear folks and before Almighty God for you to fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as your servant, for I know the power and the ability it takes to preach is not human, it's divine. It must come from thee. Help me to say those things that you could use to touch a heart and to change a life. Oh, how we need your presence. I'm asking you to bring conviction upon the hearts of every lost soul and every sinner today, so the unsaved might realize they need to be saved, and the sinner might realize I must get my life right with God. Help them to realize today, every person here to realize that I'm not preaching just to take up 30 minutes. I'm preaching a message to every heart and every life present today. Do your work in our hearts, and we'll thank you in advance for every soul saved and every life changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Sometimes back, I was on a flight that was diverted from Chicago O'Hare to the airport in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And after an hour or so delay, they put us back on the plane and we flew on to Chicago. As we began to descend into the Chicago area, it was 100 to 150 miles out. I was looking out the window of the plane and I noticed a four-lane divided highway leading up to a stream of water, and a nice four-lane bridge over this stream of water. And then this highway abruptly ended a few hundred feet on the other side of the bridge in the middle of a field. There was no construction signs, no evidence of ongoing work, no workers or machinery present. The highway and bridge just stopped in the middle of a field that was grown up in weeds. It was evident that it had been there for some time. And I thought to myself, what kind of a nut would spend the time, the man hours, the millions of dollars to build a highway and a bridge that led to nowhere? And the Holy Spirit began to work on my heart using this highway and bridge to nowhere. And I thought to myself, this is the way many people are building their lives today. They're spending their time, their energy, their money to build a life that leads to nowhere. Some of you listening to my voice this morning are like that four-lane highway and bridge. You're building and living a wasted and hopeless life that's leading you nowhere in this life. You have no purpose. You have no cause for your life. You have no set goals. You're not trying to accomplish anything. Your aspirations in life are zero. You've not completed any formal education above high school. You have no trade. You excel only in playing video games and working cell phones. One day you'll raise a family and very probably not be able to provide for their support. You spent your time and your money building a life that's leading you to nowhere. Now I want to say first of all this morning, according to God's Word, every one of us is a builder. The Bible says we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given in me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth our own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. God wants every one of us to know that we are a builder. Now God intends to be the architect. God's not wanting you to push him away from the drawing table and take over the pen and the pencil and the slide ruler yourself to design your own life. God is the architect. He has a master plan drawn up for your life. He has a design and a purpose and a will for your life. God intends for your life to have meaning and have purpose. For His will to be fulfilled, you must build according to God's plan. Now God's plan is that we build our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Are you? The Bible says other foundations have no man laid than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me say to you that building our life on Christ requires more than a simple belief that there's a God. Many who have believed that there is a God ended up with a wasted and worthless life, a life that leads to nowhere. To build upon the foundation of Christ means, first of all, that you have accepted Him as your own personal Savior. It means that you know that you know that you know that you've been saved. You've been born again. It means also that we live according to the precepts and the principles of God's book, God's Word. If we're going to build our life upon Jesus Christ, it begins with a no-so salvation experience. And then as a young Christian, we begin to learn and grow in grace. And that means that we begin to take in God's Word. And we discover the principles and the precepts in God's Word for building our life that pleases God. It further means that we have yielded to and are pursuing the will of God for our life. Let me ask you, have you ever asked God, Lord, show me your will for my life? Have you ever considered what God's will is for you in this life? He has one. And your life's never going to amount to much until you yield to and pursue the will of God for your life. You say, preacher, I haven't had time. Yeah, you've been living for yourself. You've been doing the Frank Sinatra life building, doing it your way. Well, if you're going to live a life that makes a difference, if you're going to live a life with purpose and plan and meaning and satisfaction, you've got to pursue the will of God. You've got to know it and pursue it. You say, how do you know the will of God? Get into the Word of God. After you're saved, get into a Bible-believing Baptist church. Get into Sunday school. Begin to read your Bible every day. And the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you and who wrote the Word of God will make His Word known to your life. You say, preacher, I've read it once and I don't understand it. You understood some of it. And what you understood that first time will change your life if you'll begin to practice it. Read it again, you'll learn something else. Read it again, you'll learn something else. Read it again, read it again, read it again. God wants us to live according to the principles and the precepts of this book. And if we don't know the book, how can we live to please God? We're going to build our life on Jesus Christ, then it means we've got to live according to the teachings of this book after we're saved. It means we've got to yield our life to the will of God. Well, preacher, I'm having too much fun. You're a fool. Fun lasts for a little while. It's temporary. It's not satisfying. It doesn't complete. Oh, the will of God and the plan of God will bring peace and joy and fulfillment and satisfaction. It'll bring you to a place of a right standing with God. God gives to each of us a very stern warning about building our life. In the last part of verse 10, God says, let every man, by the way, God is not excluding the women or the kids. He means let every person take heed how he buildeth their own. And every one of us must face God one day and give an account of the life we've built. I'll be honest with you. I don't look forward to being that person or having anything to do with that person that says, God, here's my life. I did it my way. Oh, how I want to stand before Him and say, Lord, thank You for making known Your will and purpose for my life. Thank You for the blessings of being able to serve You. I've built my life according to Your book. I built it as a sacrifice and a testimony for You. I build it to prove the sincerity of my love to my Savior who loved me and gave His life for me. How will we answer the one who's given us life when we've ignored His word, we've ignored His will, and we've built a life for ourselves that's leading to nowhere? Every one of us are builders. Our life is the building we're building. And how we need to learn to live it for His glory and build according to His plans and accept His will and His purpose and His cause as the main issues of our life. Let me say in the second place that some of our teenagers and singles here today are building wasted lives that lead to nowhere. Let me ask you, teenager, let me ask you, single young man or young lady, where's your life headed? What's your purpose? What's your cause? Why has God put you on this earth? What are you trying to accomplish? You have willfully avoided the very one who can give purpose and meaning to your life. You live for yourself and selfish pleasures with no thought of others or God's will. Do you know what you do affects others? I had a phone call this week telling about a person in a Bible college that was being disciplined. And they were being disciplined because they ignored the rules and they took their life into their own hands and made a decision that broke the rules with no thought of how it would affect everybody else that they're associated with. They did it for them. They didn't think about singing groups. They didn't think about ministry. They didn't think about those that were watching them. They were just living for themselves. So many teenagers and singles are like that today. Just living for themselves. You live for yourself in selfish pleasure with no thought of others. No thought of God's will. You have no trade. You have no skill. You have little or no character. Some are building a life of lying, cheating, drinking, doping, and dirty talk. Yet you claim to be a Christian. And in your heart you're miserable. Your life is unfulfilled. And you just don't know why. Oh, thou fool. Nothing satisfies you. The emptiness inside is still there. Have you ever given thought to the fact that you've turned away from the very one who can satisfy? You've turned away from the very one that can give purpose and meaning to our life. In Scripture, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. He alone can save your soul. He alone can save your lives. And there's a lot of young people with saved souls, but they're living to lose their life. To waste their life. One life. We sang about it this morning. One life. God created you. God saved you to live it for Him and to glorify Him. And oh, the disrespect, oh, the lack of love, oh, the selfishness that will take that life and waste it on yourself and the world. Building lives that are going nowhere. Let me say quickly also this morning that some who are listening to my voice are building marriages that are headed nowhere. It's true for most, you fell in love and you got married. But now after a while, the news worn off and there's an emptiness inside. Your fairy tale dream of marriage has vanished. The Hollywood fantasy of marriage has crumbled. It didn't turn out like you thought it was going to turn out. But you chose to do it your way and not God's way. Now then, you're certain you've fallen out of love with each other. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. That's his tactic. You've just tried to build a marriage without God and without God's word. Love must be fed. Love must be cared for, or it won't continue to flame. It'll grow cold. Doesn't mean you can't love again that same person that you fell in love with. But you won't love that person without doing the things to set love on fire again and bring love alive again. The problem is you've tried to build your marriage without God. You've tried to build it without the guidance of God's Word. You thought, well, I'll just go get counseling and you'll go listen to the preacher or the counselor say some things and you think that's going to cure it. Counseling's not going to fix your marriage. You've got to take the counsel and apply it. Live by the principles that are being taught. You thought you could do it your way. But without God, you're two separate people going two separate directions, sharing one bed. It's God's Word that tells us how to build a marriage. It's God's Word that tells us our position in marriage and how to treat one another. Have you ever thought about the novel idea, husband and wife, of sitting down and finding out what the Bible says about marriage and about husband and wife relationship? Have you ever read Ephesians 5? Have you ever considered to look at 1 Corinthians 11, talking about husband-wife relationship to one another? Have you ever thought about reading 1 Corinthians 13? It is the love chapter, and it sure does pertain to our relationship to one another in marriage. Have you ever thought about reading Colossians 3 or Titus 2 or 1 Peter 3? No! I'll just do it my way. We'll have that fantasy marriage, that Hollywood marriage. And it'll turn out like Hollywood. It's God's will and God's plan for marriage that our love for one another grow and become stronger with time. We're not to grow out of love, we're to grow deeper in love. You said, how can that happen? She's not what I thought she was. You act hastily then, don't you? You better find out what she was. What's her character? You say, well, man, she'd do what I want her to do while we was going together. Then you want to be something else afterwards. Oh, I know he's not perfect, but I'll change him. No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll end up in a divorce court. You better take the time to make sure you know who that person is you're considering marrying. Once you're married as far as God's concerned. It's God's plan and God's will for marriage that our love grows stronger with our married partner. The Bible tells us that God is love, and for love to grow and flourish, Christ must be preeminent in our lives and in our marriages. See, marriage is not a legal contract between two people. According to the Bible, marriage is a covenant relationship between three parties, man, woman, and God. We're building marriages that go nowhere because we're leaving God out of the equation. Is Christ preeminent in your marriage? It's not. You're building a marriage that's going nowhere. You don't have to end up on the road to nowhere but divorce. The answer is not giving up and divorcing. The answer is for both of you to return to God and God's Word. Let me give you a novel idea. Quit pointing fingers at each other and repent of your sin. Isn't that novel? You'd be surprised what that will do for a relationship, for your partner to hear you say, honey, I'm sorry, I've sinned. Well, we're so puffed up with pride, we don't want ever to admit that we made a mistake. God saved your soul. You need to live like it. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You'll never have God's blessings on your marriage if you're not saved. And then here's another novel idea. Forgive one another. Well, bless God, I'm not going to forgive her. Yet you went to Christ and asked Him to forgive you. And the Bible says we're to forgive one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Try forgiving one another for your failures. Make a new commitment to one another and to God. Don't leave God out of your marriage. After all, that marriage is that covenant relationship between you, sir, you, dear lady, and God. Get into a Bible-believing Baptist church together. And listen to me. Being a member of a Bible-believing Baptist church isn't going to save your marriage. Be faithful. Every service. And here's another novel idea. Bring your Bible and open it and follow the preacher. And then go home and read about it. Read it together, the scripture together. It's amazing how we expect miracles and from God and we won't even read His Word. Get into God's Word together. Get involved in God's will for your life. There's hope, there's help, there's healing for your marriage, but only in Christ and not on the road that leads to nowhere. Let me say finally, every life is being built for somewhere in eternity. Every life is being built for somewhere in eternity. Every person here, every person listening to my voice is an eternal being. You're destined right now as you are for either heaven or for hell. It's determined by the choice you make of accepting Christ or not accepting Christ. It's determined by the road you choose, the road of salvation or the road without God. But you're destined for somewhere in eternity. The road to nowhere only leads to waste and hopelessness. You've got to choose the way that leads to life eternal in Christ Jesus. If you just commit yourself to do what comes naturally, you'll be on that road that leads to nowhere but hell. You don't have to do a thing to go to hell. We're already lost. We're already sinners. But if we're going to get saved, we've got to make a personal, definite decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're going to avoid hell and have that promise of heaven, then you've got to decide to accept Christ as Savior. You've got to get on that road that leads to heaven, and that road that leads to heaven goes through the old rugged cross and Jesus Christ, who died there for our sins. Only you can decide which road you'll take. Every one of you that's not saved or standing at a crossroads this morning when it comes to eternity. On the left is the road of life without Christ and without the Bible and without the Lord's church, and that road leads to nowhere else but to hell. On the right hand is the way of life with purpose, a life that's worth living, a life that will never end in Christ Jesus. A life where we'll live forever and ever and ever in heaven with Him. But we've got to make that choice. We've got to choose. No one else can choose for you. No one can make your decision for you. You alone must make that choice. And if you're wise, you'll decide now. You'll decide today. If you're not saved and you're here this morning, if you're wise, you won't put it off, you won't make an excuse, you'll trust Jesus Christ today. What will you choose? Heaven or hell? A life that has purpose and meaning, or a life that leads to nowhere? A life that's worth living here and a life worth looking forward to in eternity. You know, the sad fact about those of you without Christ, you're living a life without any purpose and meaning here. And it gets worse after you die, because you face hell. You're going to hell without Christ. But you don't have to. You can make a choice to trust Christ. You ought to do it today. Every young man and young lady here today ought to determine, I'm not going to live a life that's leading to nowhere. I'm going to get into God's program. I'm going to get my life right with God. I may be saved, but I'm going to get in church, and I'm going to get in Sunday school, and I'm going to begin to read the book and live by the principles of God's Word. I want my life to have meaning and purpose. And when I stand before God, I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But it's your choice. I beg you to decide now for Him. Father, that's our message this morning. Very simple. Down to earth. What kind of a life are we building? A life that's wasted.